Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Today we're in Luke chapter 26, verses 27 to 36, and we've seen some of the ministry of Jesus as it's shared in healing, and now we're hearing the teaching. So yesterday we heard Jesus telling, "Blessed are the poor," but also woe to you who are rich, which is a little more challenging than the way we know it in Matthew's gospel. And today the teaching continues, and I mentioned it yesterday. The way it's presented in Luke's gospel, it sounds like Jesus is giving one lesson. It's one, you know, he just stopped everybody and said, okay, here are the things I need to teach you, and boom, 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 there they are. I suspect that these are a variety of teachings that are known to Luke's community, and they've put the teachings together sort of in one place, in one narrative. So I don't know that Jesus did all these things at once, but I think each of these things is worth wondering about. So I'm breaking them up so we can wonder about them, but also because I don't think they actually happened in the same day. I don't think Jesus had one day of teaching and other than that went around just healing. Anyway, let's worry more about the teaching than the historical context for it. So it's Luke 6, verses 27 to 36. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Well, what do we make of that? I mean, at first blush, it sounds to me like Jesus is saying, give up your coat, give away all your stuff. If anyone's begging, give them stuff. If people want to borrow from you, then give it to them and don't expect it back. And just give away everything. Don't be attached to the stuff you have because your reward will be great. Which sounds like, yeah, so when you get to heaven, you'll be rewarded for all the things you sacrificed here and now. If you give away all of your money, you'll be rich in heaven. That's kind of the way I heard it when I was a kid. It's kind of the way it's preached by some people now. I'm not sure that that's what's going on. It starts off by Jesus saying, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Now, he's not saying, "Now I say to you all." He's not saying that. He's saying, I mean, I'm sure that these words would be of value to everybody, but he's saying, to you who listen, to you that listen, to you who want to learn my ways, you who are drawn to me, you who want to be in a better relationship with God than you are now. Now those who listen. Jesus often says, let those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, to note that there are those who are searching and those who are not. So when I hear that, I think about it, okay, so I don't have to necessarily blame those who aren't searching to say, well, you know what, you're not charitable enough. I don't need to focus on the ones who aren't keeping up. Jesus is speaking to those who want to keep up, to you that listen. You're one of my disciples. You want to be a Christian. You want to be a follower of me. You want to be closer to God. You want to follow the way. Then if you want to do that, here's what you need to do. You need to love your enemies. And you need to do good to those who actually hate you. You need to bless the ones who curse you and pray for the ones who abuse you. That's what you're going to have to do if you want to follow the way. So I don't know that Jesus is condemning those who don't want to follow the way, but he's saying if you do, this is how you're going to do it. And what that says to me is that if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a faithful person in this context, I expect you to do more than other people. It's not enough to be as kind as the next guy. I want you to be as merciful and kind as God. Right? As you go through it, that's what he said. Towards the end, you will be children of the Most High, it says, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So I want you to be like that. I don't want you to be like the one beside you. And how often do we do that in our faith? I mean, you know, we're moderately kind. We're moderately, you know, forgiving. But, you know, I mean, if people say, well, I see you don't have any place in your church for those people. You know, well, yeah, but neither does so-and-so. You know, and neither the Kiwanis Club wouldn't accept them, and that church wouldn't accept them, so why should we? And what I hear Jesus saying is, I'm not asking you to be as good as everybody else, whether they're faithful or not. I'm not asking you to be as good as, I'm asking you to be beyond that. I want you to strive to be as merciful as God, who is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Wow. That's hard. That's hard. You know, you keep giving to somebody who just keeps taking from you. When do you say, stop? And we talk about tough love. How would Jesus feel about the idea of tough love? How would Jesus feel about the idea of saying no to the child who just keeps taking and taking and taking and taking from you? The relative who robbed your business. I mean, is that what Jesus is really saying? That yeah, no, you know what? If your brother-in-law embezzles from you, don't worry about that. Give him even more money. Really? Is that fair to me? And I think that Jesus would say, but that's not the point, Norm. Now, I might want to approach that and go, but Jesus, is that fair to the people who depend on me? How do I figure this out? And so I don't know that it's an automatic just give everything away to the people who keep taking it. Don't think it doesn't mean you can't stand up for justice and include yourself in justice, but it's not enough to simply be as good or slightly better than others. We're being invited to be as, to strive to be as kind as God, and merciful as God. And that's pretty tough. Pray for those who abuse you. I do that. I really do. And I speak, you know, as somebody who has experience, some history there. But I'd be really careful to not interpret these words as saying, if someone abuses you, let it go on. If someone abuses you, don't report it and put them in peril. That's not, to me, what that's saying. This is actually saying, pray for those who abuse you. When it comes to my goods, it's saying, yeah, if someone takes your coat, then you know what? Give them your shirt too. If someone begs from you, then give them stuff. So that's stuff. So don't confuse stuff with worth. I got that. But when it comes to those who abuse you, what Jesus said is pray for them. And I do that. Have I forgiven? Mostly. Because that's the trick with abuse. But I think it's also really healthy and important to claim your own back. So I would never want to read this as Jesus saying, if people abuse you, let them abuse you. I think this is pray for those who abuse you, which might be to, well, in a sense, to forgive them. So I'm thinking my own personal, and of course that's always dangerous because my personal experience is not universal, and I'm not really going to go into my personal experience. We're not in a group therapy session here. But in my situation, yes, I can forgive the one who abused me in that I pray for them, and I no longer wish for them to suffer. I have no desire to have any contact with them. I have no desire to know what's going on in their lives. Maybe in the perfect world, I would be very glad to hear that they have been rehabilitated and healed and live a life out of the shadows, and that they're okay. Maybe I would, but I can't afford that piece of me to follow that road in case it goes to a bad place. So for me, my forgiveness is I've disconnected from them entirely. I wish them no ill, but I do not wish to know anything about them. I wish to have no contact. Do I accept that God loves them? Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. And there are moments that I question God's wisdom in doing that. But then I remove myself from the personal part of it and understand that so many things go into creating that person who can be abusive. So I'm glad that God loves them because I find it hard, but I don't have to wish them ill. And that's the forgiveness. But I don't know that I would have gone that route or could have gone that route without my faith. I do know that God expects more of me than to be as good as the people around me. Because by the way, very often the people around me would push me to get vengeance, push me to somehow get reparation for what has happened. And by the way, I don't want to go into it this is not a horrific movie of the week kind of thing, okay? I'm not going to talk further about that. But it's enough that there are people who go like, yeah, you should get revenge. So, you know, if I just wanted to be as good as the people around me, then I would not be the person I am right now. God calls me to do better. Not because I must, but because I have said in my life that I want to be a Christian. I want to follow the way of Jesus. I want to be one who listens. So Jesus says, so I say to you that listen. So if you want to do this, here's the thing. Love your enemies. It's not the way the world goes. You're not supposed to love your enemies. You're supposed to hate them. You're supposed to hate them out of existence. But I'm going to tell you, don't do that. And be good to the people who do hate you. Who wants to be good to the people who hate you? But yes, do good. Be good to the people who hate you. Years ago, and no, there's no way for you to know any of these people. Years and years ago, I did. I officiated at a funeral. For a woman who I kind of knew, her daughter arranged the funeral, and we did all sorts of things. And I went out of my way to make it work very well for her, and I think we did a lovely funeral. And she bounced the check to the church. and promised to make good on it, apologized. It was just a clerical error, and then she disappeared. She moved and she was gone. And now the thing in that is paying a minister for a funeral. You know what? In most traditions, it's an honorarium, so you don't. There's no fee. And so I make it clear to people when it comes to a funeral, if you want to pay me something, that's very kind of you, that's fine, but you're not, it's not required of you. So I tell you, like, please do not overextend yourself or anything that way. However, I do expect you to pay for the staff, the people we hire in. Okay, not me, it's my calling in that sense, it's my job. But if we bring a musician in, the musician deserves to be paid. We have to have somebody who sets everything up and sets up and cleans up and mounting. So that person deserves to be paid. So I ended up paying those people out of my pocket. And that's fine. I'm not rich, but I could afford to do that, and that's fine. And I felt pretty good about that. Okay, see, I'm in a pretty good guy. I think God would be okay with me. 4 years later, maybe. Yeah, I think maybe 4 years later, I get a phone call. This woman in the hospital, and it's this woman, and she's dying, and she wondered if I would come to visit her. And she said, and I know you probably won't, and I don't blame you. I wrote you a bad check, I ran out on you, I knew I was doing it, and I shouldn't have, but I just thought maybe you would come to see me. Now, if I wanted revenge, I'd have said no. If I wanted to function the way the world seems to function most often, I'd have said, write me a check and I'll be there, or have the cash. Not necessarily to pay me, but to pay those other people, or to pay me back for having paid those people so I wouldn't be at a loss. I could have done all of those things. Instead, I went to see her. And it was a good visit. I think that she benefited. I think that she wanted to be forgiven and felt forgiven. I think that I wanted to be reminded that I'm not all about money. And so in doing that, I was reminded that I can do this. I don't say that I went there saying to myself, well, I'm better than other people who wouldn't do this. But I went there saying, you know what? This is what God wants of me. This is what God wants me to do. I say to you that listen, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. For anyone who takes your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. If anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. I didn't ask for them again. Had I done what my natural inclination was, frankly, I would have missed out on the opportunity to be of value to her, and I would have missed out on that opportunity to recognize what I think Jesus is talking about here. And what to me, what Jesus is talking about here is this reward. This reward. This is not a heavenly reward where the hundreds of dollars I may have paid the workers that when I get to heaven, I'll get 1,000. It's not that. the reward is that I got to sit with a woman on her deathbed and have the opportunity to forgive somebody. I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty powerful and wonderful feeling to forgive somebody and to really, truly mean it. I had the opportunity to take some of her pain away. And I think that the pain I took away, helped take away or ease, was not just the pain of her writing me a bad check. I suspect there are other things in her life that she had done that were similar. But the fact that I could forgive her perhaps helped her understand that God could forgive her, that she was forgivable, that she was redeemable, that she was lovable. I had not excluded her from my love, and if I wasn't, then surely God's not going to, because God's way better at this than I am. I got that opportunity, and that was an incredible reward for me. It gives my life meaning and fullness. That's the kind of reward. Because see, Jesus is not talking about a reward for everybody. Jesus is talking about, if you want to follow, then I'm asking you to do things that other people don't do. To not measure yourself against other folk, but always try to be as loving, as kind, as forgiving as God. And no, you can't necessarily get there, but that's the level you're working toward. So you've always got work to do. You can't just satisfy yourself and say, well, I love all the right people. Yeah, no, even sinners love the right people. You know, and sinners aren't evildoers necessarily. Sinners are those who are distant from God. Right? You've heard me talk about this a lot of times, I'm sure, unless this is your first time hearing me. But sin for me is the distance between us and God, right? So sin is distance, and we are born in sin, meaning we are born distant from God. And in our lives, we may work toward coming closer to God. And the beauty of my faith tells me that in Jesus, God has worked toward coming towards me. So the idea is we're getting closer together, and as we get closer together, sin is diminished. So that to me is the thing here. So even sinners, even those who don't care about the distance, who are distancing themselves or not trying to get closer, they don't care. Even those people love lovable people. But you who wants to make the distance smaller, you who wants to follow the way, you who wants to be in better relationship with God, do these things. Love those unlovable people. And you'll get a reward. And the reward is a thing you experience that they never get to. They're satisfied with being as good as anybody, you know, as being as kind as anybody. But you will experience that when you really extend yourself that way, there are holy, wonderful moments that just in the instant reveal to you the beauty of the universe, that reveal to you the love that connects all things, reveals to you the things that reveals to you that God at work and God present in the world. Suddenly it just, you see the world differently in those moments. They are almost mystical experiences. And you get those by going further. Don't be satisfied with keeping up with the Joneses. It's not the point. If you want to be a faith, you don't have to be. You might be satisfied with that distance between you and God. That's fine. But for you that listen, those who you want to be, then here's what to do. Don't simply be like those who are happy with the distance between themselves and God. Right? If you lend to those and hope to lend to people with the hope of receiving back from them, particularly at interest, ooh, how kind of you. That's not kind. That's a business transaction. No. Give that money and don't expect it back. If it comes, it doesn't say you have to refuse it, but you didn't lend it expecting it back. You didn't lend it planning to make money. That's a business transaction. God's not a business. Kindness, forgiveness, that's the goal here. Anyway, I'm turning this into a sermon. I can hear me. And so I'm going to stop doing that. But that's what's coming up for me in this passage. And maybe you're hearing a different thing and seeing something different. And that would be wonderful. And so I encourage you to explore that or agree with me, disagree with me. But that's what I get out of this lesson that speaks to me right now anyway. And I need this lesson. So it's a good one for me. And I'm going to leave it there and simply offer a prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for the invitation to be closer and the path to take. Thank you for this time to wonder and to wonder how it is that I might follow, that I might grow in my faith, that I might move beyond just keeping up with my neighbors and become one who loves my neighbors and loves them unreasonably. God, we thank you for this time, and we ask that in every moment that we hear your voice, that we have the courage to follow and to continue to grow in faith. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's enough of me today, but I look forward to seeing it tomorrow. Until I get to see you, God bless you. Please know that God sees you and God loves you exactly as you are, and that God's love moves through you. And you may choose to follow that love or simply just let that love flow through you. But one way or the other, trust me, you are changing the world. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being you. And I can't wait to see you tomorrow. Till I get to see you. God bless.